Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, angels. Wow, what a week we are having. Kind of a big month we've come off of. And if you're just tuning in, you are listening to the Angel Coaches Network, which is spearheaded by our fearless and always sunny leader, Therese Abbott. And Therese does not like to plug herself very much, so I'm going to do it for her. Therese is a very gifted psychic, if you would let me use that term. She is clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. She's all the clairs. Anyway, to me, she's a very good friend, and she's a mentor. She's really probably the best therapist you could go to, and not just because she gets messages from the other side, but because she's talked to thousands and thousands of people from all walks of life with every different problem imaginable. And she really has a lot of great insight into the human psyche. So if you're needing any support, any assistance, any questions, any guidance, I would highly recommend Therese as someone who is a great life coach. And this network is really comprised of a lot of different people from different venues who are ready and willing to help you get to where you want to get, whether it's psychic advice or advice about physical abilities. If you're wanting to improve your life, improve your athletic performance, improve your health overall, mental, physical, emotional, that's what we are here to do. I am an author, a speaker, I'm a business manager, and basically I am a student of life myself. I'm very curious always about the human nature and what we are put on this earth to do. I have written my first book, was published through Joshua Tree Publishing. I'll give them a plug, too. And it was written about my late son, Mikey, who was autistic and was very much a success as far as that's concerned. He graduated from college. He had a girlfriend. He was driving, and he was really at the peak of his life, very happy, when he suffered a delusional episode and killed himself. And that was, of course, a big blow to myself. And because of my own spiritual beliefs, I got through it. Therese helped me a lot in working through the following years. It's always very difficult to lose someone you love, especially a child. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of give you a little background of where I'm coming from when I start talking about the changes that we've all been presented with this last month. Change is hard. We are human beings. We're creatures of habit. We like our routine. We like the same people in our life. We like our same houses. We like our same jobs. Even if we are stagnant or bored or disenchanted with whatever is in our life, we still like to stick to our routine. And this last month, we have just seen massive changes. Everyone I've spoken to, it seems like they've got some kind of a major change going on in their life that they are either really excited about or really unhappy about or just kind of struggling through. And I want to talk about why. Why does the universe force us to change? And is it something that is like a planetary involvement? Is there any credence to astrology? Or is it just kind of transitional periods for some reason through the human race, it seems like? A lot of changes seem to happen at once, and then things kind of die down and everyone gets into a different groove. It seems like it's cyclical. People I've talked to, lots of stuff, lots of exciting stuff. There's people moving, people changing jobs, people losing jobs, people getting better jobs, people breaking up, people making up, people getting new loves. Lots and lots of stuff seemed to happen last month. And as I said, humans usually hate change. If it's change for the better, we get excited about it, but there's still a lot of apprehension sometimes. If it's change that we don't like, we want to dig our heels in the ground and buck against it. But unfortunately, the universe does not allow you to do that. And something that I've talked about with my publisher over at Joshua Tree, John Paul Ells, he and I had a great discussion on, is there any credence to astrology? Because he's a very analytical, very skeptical person, And he said, you know, I've just got really tired of everybody always telling me that my mechanical breakdowns or, you know, communication malfunctions were due to the Mercury retrograde. He said, I've heard that so many times that I really started studying it to disprove them. And he said, and the more I studied it and the more I analyzed things, the more I proved them right. And I had actually done the same thing myself because I've always been curious about every different thing and studied astrology a lot when my son was younger because Mikey was very interested in science and in the solar system and the planets and the stars. And I read a lot of books to him and a lot of questions he had based on our religion, which was the Christian religion, and what could possibly have some scientific data to back up some of the things that we read about in the Bible. What was the Star of Bethlehem? Was there actually something in the skies that might have been documented by astrologers or astronomers, I should say, at that time that would account for some kind of an astrological or configuration that would have other people would have seen. So we started really researching a lot of that, and the astronomy kind of led me into looking at astronomy and asking, you know, the questions, do they have any credence? Is there any factual data to back this up? Change seems to happen kind of on a worldwide scale sometimes with politics, with social unrest, just with society in general, but it also seems to happen in individual lives. And I really started taking a look at what some of these renowned astronomers and astrologers were looking at and comparing planetary movements and does it really affect individual lives. And it wasn't such a stretch for me when I look at the moon. When you look at the moon and the effect it has on the tide, which is this huge body of water in the ocean. So if the moon can affect the ocean, it can certainly affect a human body because we are comprised mostly of water ourselves. So I started giving a little credence into some of the things that they would say about, you know, the moon's effect on us. Then I started looking at the other planets. And Saturn is kind of the planet that I'm going to be talking a lot about today because Saturn is what my favorite astrologer likes to call the taskmaster planet. And if you have any interest or any curiosity or any skepticism about the zodiac signs and all of that stuff, I would highly recommend you log on to Susan Miller's website. She actually has a lot of different venues now that she goes into. I know she has a partnership with Condé Nast, and she's got a webcam. You can get information on the web through her verbally speaking, or you can read your horoscope, whatever. But anyway, Susan is really a great student of this astrology. And she always called Saturn the taskmaster planet because when Saturn moves into a certain area of your chart, it forces you to really learn some tough lessons in that area. And I know myself, when I've looked back on periods of my life when I was being skeptical and saying, okay, does this really happen? It really rang true for my life. You know, if Saturn was in my financial sector, it was like 2 years of strife financially. If it was in a relationship sector, I had some real tough lessons to learn about love and relationships. So Saturn has been moving and bringing relief to a lot of people when it's moving out of one of their sectors that they've been really learning the tough love lessons with. And some people, unfortunately, will start learning them as it continues moving into a different sector. Saturn is the planet that Susan says it's not a mean planet, it's nothing to be feared, but it really forces you to shake things up. And if there's something that's not working in your life, it makes you learn why, learn the lessons, and move on and move in a different direction. And that's kind of what I'm seeing out there, a lot of change taking place last month. And people do not like change. And we ask why, you know, why did this happen? Why did he break up with me? You know, why did I get fired? Why do I have to move? There's a lot of whys, you know, involved when you are asked to change the way you're doing something or change a relationship. And I know myself, that's very difficult when you've gotten comfortable with someone or something or some certain job or some place to live. It's very uncomfortable to uproot yourself. And so you look at why. If we all could get just stuck in our routines all the time and stuck where we're at, we would never have any spiritual growth. We would never have any growth as human beings if we're not kind of forced out of our comfort zone and kind of given a little nudge to move in a different direction. And that's basically what I feel like the universe has been telling a lot of people last month is, you know, you've been in this place. It's time to move on. And whether it was a relationship, whether it was a house, a job, whatever, it's forcing you to go in a different direction that is where you're supposed to be going. So change is not bad. In fact, I remember when I lost my son, one of my friends, he's actually a publicist, told me something that I still remember to this day. He said, "Nothing bad ever happens. There are no bad things. There are just different versions of sweet and sour." And that, it rings true so much, even with Mikey's death. What was the worst moment of my life was probably the most wondrous, gratifying moment of Mikey's existence when he passed over to the other side. I mean, I can't even imagine how glorious that must be to go to a place of complete unconditional love. And at the same time, his mother, all of his family and his loved ones were going through a private little hell. So you can't look at change, even if it's a death or a loss of a relationship, can feel very much like a death. And they're often very difficult to get over. Sometimes it takes longer to get over the loss of a relationship than it does to cope with the loss of a loved one through death. So I'm not diminishing any other kind of losses in any way. But we feel like we don't want to go on. We don't want to move forward with the new look of things, the new lay of the land, the new real. We don't want to face it. But the universe tells us we're going to have to. We're going to have to move in this other direction. And we generally look back, you know, maybe 2 years, it may be 10 years, it may be 20 years down the road, and we say, you know what, that was the best thing that could have ever happened. And I certainly would not say losing my son was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, but it gave me a lot of insight, a lot of wisdom, and I've really done what a lot of people try to do after a loss like that, and try to use it for the better to help other people, to help other people get through things, to help other people cope and kind of come to terms with a loss like that. And that's one of my jobs here at Angel Coaches. I am always open and welcome to help anybody who's grappling with a loss and kind of, you know, find your way through to the other side. So I want to talk about, you know, all the exciting changes with people. A lot of people I've talked to had breakups last month, and I've looked at some of their charts, astrological charts, and a few of them had Saturn hosting in their they were hosting Saturn in their committed relationship sector, and it forced them to really work on those relationships and look at them under a microscope and say, okay, is this person really right for me or not? And unfortunately for a couple of them, they've decided, you know, this is something I need to let go of. And letting go is kind of the topic of the discussion today. How do you let go? How do you let go of someone or something or an idea that you have that has been very precious to you? And the only advice I can give you is call Tariq. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding, but Tariq can certainly help you with that. But look at the future. Look at where you want to go. And did this person or did this situation, did it really fit in where you want to go? And maybe it did. But if there's a person in your life saying, I don't want to be in your life any longer, you certainly can't keep clinging on to them. You need to you know, wake up to a new day and start, you know, accepting the fact that this person is no longer going to be in your life, and that only means that there is someone better coming for you. And that's always the outlook that you need to have on something. If you lost a job, you just need to look at it as, I was no longer, that job was no longer working for me. So the universe just forced me to get out there and find a better job for me that I'm going to enjoy even more. And if you get into that positive mindset, you will start kind of seeing the whys of things. Instead of saying, oh, why did I get fired, or why did he break up with me? You'll start saying, okay, the reason that he broke up with me is because I was never going to break up with him, and that relationship really was not the right relationship for me. And the reason I got fired was because that was not the right job for me. But being a human being, a creature of habit, who loves their routine, I was going to hang on to that job till the day I retire, and it was not the right job for me. So this forced me out of my comfort zone, out of my routine, and it's making me go find that job that is right for me, that won't even feel like the job that I enjoy going in to do every day. So that is the kind of mindset that it's very difficult, I understand, but not impossible. Even if you have lost someone through death, you've got to process your grief, process their death, and realize it was their time to go. Their work here was done, but yours is not. So why are you still here? And that is kind of what kept me going through the worst early days of Mikey's death, was waking up in the morning and saying, okay, I'm still here, so who do I need to connect with today? I'm still here for a reason. I'm here to support other people. I'm not a victim. I'm not just here to get supported myself. Who do I want to connect with and help today? And if you wake up every morning and really get yourself in that positive mindset, your day will flow easily and positive things will start coming to you. If you wake up in that victimhood mindset where everything has happened to me and I did nothing wrong and I don't know why life is so unfair, you'll keep drawing that negativity towards you, and more things will happen to you that feel unfair, and more things will happen to you that feel like you got shortchanged and you were put upon, and you know, somebody isn't taking your feelings into consideration. So if you start trying to say, what can I do to help the rest of society? What can I do to help the people around me? You will start releasing that love coming out of you, and you will just get it right back to you. So the transitions, while they're very hard sometimes, very difficult, or at the very least they're uncomfortable, they're not a bad thing. And if you look for the positives, you look to the road ahead, and you really start psychoanalyzing yourself and saying, what do I want to get out of this life? Why am I here? What do I want to grow with? You'll start seeing that some of these new avenues that you may have been forced to go down are actually kind of your avenue that leads to your own pot of gold. And I don't mean it's always wealth. It may be, you know, more money to be able to be independent and do what you want. It may be the love of your life. It may be just a lifestyle that you embrace and will really enjoy. But the transition that you're being forced into is not a bad thing. And once you get out of that negative mindset, it will really free you up. And I'd like to talk about negativity for a moment, because that is kind of like the biggest prohibitor, I think, to letting people achieve their dreams. When you feel angry or frustrated or hurt or upset, you kind of close down. It's like you're directing all of this negative energy internally. It's like you're taking the anger that you would like to throw at somebody else, and you're really pointing it right back into you. So you're this big bottle of upset, nerves, anger, whatever it is, of emotion that's just ready to explode, but you are almost a smaller source of energy. You've kind of compressed all your energy into one little negative fireball, and you can't get anything positive coming to you when you are feeling like that. Whereas if you feel happy and free and open, it's like you feel expansive. Your energy is expansive, and you're expanding your positive energy out onto other people. And they, in turn, will respond to that, and you'll start seeing positive things come back to you. And that principle, of course, we like to call the law of attraction. You attract what you're putting out. And, in fact, my third book I co-wrote with Cherie on that very topic. It's called You Mean There's a Law That Says He Has to Be Attracted to Me? A Psychic and a Humorist Explain Metaphysics. And I'm the humorous part of the duo, and Cherie is obviously the psychic part of the duo. But if you've heard all about the law of attraction, you've heard people talking about it, you've heard metaphysical stuff, you've heard other clairvoyants talking about it, and you just have any kind of a curiosity about what are they talking about, what do they mean, how is this going to help me, I would strongly encourage you to get our book. And you can order any of our books through Amazon.com, or you can go on to Angel Coaches, or you can go to my website is DianeBucci.com. You can always send me a message. Message me on Facebook, send me an email, and we will tell you how to get those books. But the book I wrote with Cherie, it really talks a lot about what does it mean by, you know, like attracting like, and by thinking positive, do you really get success? Are you really going to achieve what you want, the love of your life or the life of your dreams or the dream job, the money you want? Is that really going to help you? And there's so many people who have success stories. And this is not a new principle, obviously. There's been a lot of books written about it over the ages that took a different spin on it. But I remember when I was younger, The Power of Positive Thinking was a very popular book on the bestseller list for months and months. And although they don't call it the law of attraction in that book, it's really the same principle. It's thinking positive, and positive things come to you. And we've all been around very negative people, and they seem to continue attracting negative things, and that is part of their negative disposition. They believe that bad things will happen to them, and so they seem to attract that. So it's hard when you're very miserable and you're feeling like the world is against you and the world did not give you what you want. It's very easy to fall into that negative victimhood mindset. But if you force yourself out of that, and only you can do it, and you start looking at the whys of things, you will start seeing some positive results. I guarantee it, even just the way other people are treating you. If you walk in the door with a smile on your face and you're happy and to help them and happy just to brighten their day a little bit, you're going to get that right back to you. And that alone will lift your moods. Human interaction, and I am also a business manager. I work with a lot of people every day. And just that human interaction with someone who comes in with a positive aura about them brightens my day, and it makes my day, and it's the reason that I like to continue working with people. So let me talk about the planets again for a moment. So Saturn, as I said, is considered by Susan Miller to be the taskmaster planet. I don't know where he is in your chart, but as Saturn moves into different sectors, Saturn really forces you, usually over a couple of years period of time, to really work on things. And Saturn really kind of helps you to expose the weaknesses in different areas of your life, whether it's in a relationship or a job, whatever it is. You'll really kind of have a lot of tough lessons from Saturn in some tough love and tough knocks, and it will make you a stronger person. It will make you a better person. So Saturn is the one who I kind of contribute a lot of the changes we've had to. And, of course, Venus is the love planet. If Venus is in your sign, that's always a bright spot for a lot of people. A lot of people look at Mars. They are obviously supposed to be opposites. Not, I don't really think they're polar opposites, but as far as, you know, Mars is not the antithesis of love, but Mars, Susan Miller likes to call the booster rocket. So if Mars is in your sign, it will help you get to wherever you want to go faster. Jupiter is the great healer. Jupiter is the planet that helps bring you happiness. So if you are hosting Jupiter in a certain area of your chart, Jupiter will help heal all of the hard feelings and wounds that you're carrying from some of your tough lessons. So I would, you know, encourage you, if you're interested at all, to go on and do a little research and see where some of these planets have fallen in your sign. So change, when you're looking to accept change, you can find guidance from outside of you. You can find guidance from yourself. You can ask your angels, your guides, whatever it is that you believe in, to help you get through things. And I know Cherie and I both use angel cards to meditate on sometimes. If we're in a negative kind of frame of mind, which happens to everybody, you know, things happen to us, people hurt our feelings, and you kind of go home at night and you think, oh my gosh, I feel like the world is against me. I'll draw an angel card out of a deck, and of course that's always going to be something positive, and focus my thoughts on that. It may be the angel of love, it might be the angel of transition, it could be in any kind of an angel, but it's something positive that kind of gives you a frame to focus on, something physical that you can look at and say, okay, instead of sitting here feeling sorry for myself, I'm going to focus on something that's lighter and happier, and you'll feel your energy lifting. When you start thinking of positive things, you'll just kind of feel that weight coming off your shoulders. And I told a lot of people in the last couple of weeks that I've talked to, you know, go home at night, take a deep breath. We're all in this together. Everybody's had a lot of stuff going on. And just if you don't meditate, you don't have to be an expert in meditation. You don't, you know, there are very few people who can say, I meditate and I have an out-of-body experience. I think meditation to me means I'm basically taking some time for myself, taking a pause moment, and just clearing my mind of all the negative thoughts and focusing on something positive. And I can sit down for 5 minutes, I can sit down for 10 minutes, and just think of something positive. I can visualize a picture in my mind of someone I love, like my granddaughter, something that she's doing that's funny, that will lighten my spirits. I can visualize something that brings me a feeling of serenity, like a waterfall or a meadow of flowers, whatever it is that you need to focus on that will get you out of that negative mindset. That's what you need to be doing. And right now, especially if you're going through a tough time, a tough transition, a lot of changes, even if they're good changes, change is always hard. And I've just brought to mind an old HR director I had at a company I used to work for. We had a store company meeting, and this woman got up on the podium and she screamed into the microphone, "Change or die." And although I thought that was a little bit harsh at the time, I get what she means. The change that you are being asked to embrace, if you are going through some sort of transition, it's going to happen. It already has happened, or it's happening. It's going to happen whether you embrace it or not. If you don't embrace the change, you're going to get left out. You're going to get left behind. Life is going to keep going on without you, and you're going to be holed up in your house like a little recluse saying, I'm not going to face the changes. So basically you will not be still continuing to live with everyone else. It would be kind of like an emotional or spiritual death. So the transitions that are happening, I just want everybody to kind of take a deep breath. Realize that we're all going to go on, and we will talk about this more on the next show. And I thank you all for listening, and thanks, Cherie, for having this network for us. Have a great day.